Hello, you're listening to Fundamental Frequencies,
the show where we talk to people about music and how it's impacted them throughout their lives.
Hey all, welcome back to Fundamental Frequencies. Thanks for tuning in again. This episode is another one of our pre-recorded archived episodes, if you will. We recorded these episodes in May at the very beginning of our quarantine, so they're all socially distanced and over Zoom. This particular episode is with, we interview Jennifer Wilson, who is my mother. So this was a particularly fun episode for me because I got to revisit a lot of the songs that have been fundamental to my life just in, you know, being raised by my mother. So this was a really, really fun episode.
Yes, I completely agree. It was so fun getting to hear Anna and her mom singing along to some of these fundamental frequencies and just having a good time, even though we weren't able to be together in person. It was just a very joyous episode, I feel like, to record. So we're looking forward to having you listen to it. Thanks for being here, and mask up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Fundamental Frequencies.
This is a very exciting episode for me in particular, because our guest today just so happens to be my own mother.
Yay!
Hi!
How exciting is that?
I'm the birth giver.
She is my birth giver.
So fun. We had talked about like doing our parents, but we weren't sure how we could have made that happen when we were like in person in the studio. So now because of this whole situation, we can do this.
Yeah. When we first started this show, mom said, by the end of the semester, I'll fly out to Grinnell and be on your show.
I did.
Okay.
I would have.
That basically happened. You're here now.
Yeah, I just came to you.
Instead, yeah, it went the other way around. But I was more than willing.
But we're here now and we're happy about it. So we're going to kick off the show with a couple of our honorable mentions. My honorable mention, since my mother is here, has a lot to do with her, kind of in her honor, I suppose, because this song, I think we sang in the car more than any other song, like ever. So maybe it might not be ever, but we loved this song. Anyway, this song is popular from Wicked.
Oh my gosh, so amazing. Yes.
Right? Isn't that just such a fun? So that was like kind of our go-to when we needed to just
be dramatic. Can you guys sing it now?
I mean, we can.
I mean, that would be so lovely.
Sing it for you, and then maybe we'll cut that part out.
That works.
In a minute since we did it. And I think we always did it to music.
And where are we starting?
No,
how does the song start again?
Popular.
You're gonna be popular. I'll teach you the proper ploys when you talk to boys. Little ways to flirt and flounce. Whoa! Sure to fix your hair. Everything that really counts to be popular. I know about popular.
I think we do it better when we.
I think we might.
That was wonderful. That was such a treat. Oh my gosh, got to see mother-daughter duo sing together. That's really so fun.
Oh, thanks.
Even over Zoom, it sounded very good.
Anyway, what's your honorable mention?
My honorable mention is kind of a goofy one, but it's actually, like, I've been listening to it a lot lately. It's called Champagne Night. It was written by a songwriter who was just on Songland. I don't know if y'all are familiar with the TV show, but it's like a reality TV show. Songwriters go in and pitch a song to a panel of judges. And then usually there's like one musical artist or a band who's gonna get the song that they pitch if they choose it. And so Songland chose this one song from songwriter, I think her name is like Madeline Merlo, I think, and Lady Antebellum was a musical act on that episode, and so they chose the song and they recorded it, and it was just really fun to like see the process of Madeline like pitching the song and then going into the studio and working with one of the producers and kind of reshaping the song to fit Lady Antebellum and then hearing the final version of it. So it's really catchy too. There's some really fun lyrics, so should go listen to it.
Okay. That was lovely, Lady Antebellum.
So as I mentioned before, this is a very special episode because our guest today is my mom, Jennifer Wilson.
Hi. I am so thrilled to be with you all.
Where are you right now, Mom?
I am in Santa Cruz. We are located about 80 miles south of San Francisco. It's a sunny day, although the fog is coming in. Don't ask her because
the fog's not coming in.
It is coming in. It doesn't know yet. We are a small coastal town. It's beautiful, but we live in the redwoods. So we drive a little bit out away from the beach, and we live in the trees.
I love redwoods.
The big, huge redwoods.
That sounds beautiful. I'm imagining the fog and the redwoods and just really wanting to be in California now.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It is. Can't complain. today's especially nice because we got out of the house. We're in my office, so we got like four new walls to stare at.
One of them's blue.
And there's a map on it.
Yes,
there's a map.
It took us a long time to pick this color.
Okay, well, will you please tell us about your first fundamental frequency?
My first fundamental frequency. Okay, well, we were just talking about Linda Ronstadt. She's probably one of my all-time favorite artists, women. She represents, I think, for me, everything that is good about the last 50 years, women's rights, people's rights, ethnic rights. Like, she just represents all of those all wrapped up into one. She's amazing. Her voice is truly beautiful. Anna was saying she kind of categorizes her as country, but she's literally done mariachi and rock and pop. And I can't categorize her. Anyway,
I guess I've really only experienced, there's no way I've only experienced the countryside of Linda Ronstadt.
But I do like to sing that part. So yeah, that could be true.
The Montana in you.
It could be. The kitten. So yeah, one of my favorite songs happens to be by her. My dad, when we were kids, used to sing this to us when we would go to sleep. So it was kind of a lullaby for us, an old cowboy lullaby. it's called Old Paint.
Oh, that just made my heart so happy. That was...
Oh yeah, a little past childhood memories there.
Mm-hmm. I love that song too. I love that. I feel like a lot of these songs, I mean, obviously I know all of them, but that makes me really happy because I can, you know, look at a list of mom's music picks and sing the words to them, which is always really fun. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you passed those songs down to me. Didn't keep them all to yourself.
Never. Music is meant to be shared. You're going to experience the same thing when you have your mom, or are you going to have your dad? Ooh, both.
I know. Or, yeah, I got to decide that.
I'm sure they'll have some music in there that you can relate to.
I know. I'm excited to hear. I think a lot of their favorite songs, or at least songs that I think are their favorites, are some of my favorites, I think.
Yeah. That would make sense. I think that, you know, that's that attachment, that emotional part about music that that gives you the feels, you know, things that when you do share things that from your childhood, or, you know, parents get to share them when they come out, you guys as kids get all excited about something. We want to enjoy that with you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah. I know she was picking out her five, and they're all like songs from her childhood, and they're all a little bit older. But she finishes her list and then she goes, and I didn't even pick any Pink or any Taylor Swift.
Oh no.
Okay, Mom.
You know?
Yeah.
Save that for
it's
another
so
one.
It's so funny because I'll like play songs for her and then she'll be like, ooh, put that on my playlist. I like that one.
Yeah.
Put that one
it's
on my playlist.
It's the only way I get to hear new music.
Yeah.
And maybe that's always been the case for like handing down things from generation to generation. You know, you kind of do that exchange.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we did it when you were kids and now you guys are older and you're like influencing us. You
yeah,
know?
So cool, honestly. Yeah. Like a musical conversation and sharing of musical tastes.
I mean, I bet your parents probably wouldn't necessarily listen to the music that's that you guys listen to now or that's popular, just, I mean, maybe they would. I don't know. I think it's unusual.
So it's not as appealing, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and styles have changed a whole bunch, too. I feel like even beyond nostalgia, like, the whole pop music and electronic music, like, craze that's kind of in its prime right now, where everybody just likes, I feel like this generation's music is kind of like the, either really poppy or, like, kind of repetitive.
Yeah.
Like we talked about last time. Or the
What's
time
the rave music?
Like EDM.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of that either. Like, my heart isn't in that music. Like, that's why I love country, I think, because it's a lot more, I don't know, appealing.
It gives you the feels.
Yeah, but I think so many people love EDM and, like, electronic pop, and that's there for people who want.
Yeah, it's so popular.
I love it.
I mean, I don't like, I just can't. It literally, like, makes me want to crawl on my skin.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
I don't like house dance music. I feel like most of, like, the mainstream, like, EDM is kind of just that, like, oots, oots,
that,
oots,
yeah.
Oots. I don't like that either.
No.
You have to be in the right setting for that.
Yeah, and even in that setting is not one where you care about music. Like, you don't listen to that music for the music. You listen to it to go oots, 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 like that. That's its purpose.
I mean, I guess there is that version of it. It just wasn't so repetitive. I don't feel like our version of that dance music was as repetitive.
You had disco, probably, or like.
Yeah, right? I mean, I'm not quite that old, but.
No.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. I am.
What is disco's like the 80s?
70s.
So, okay.
You were like a teenager, not even then though.
No, I was young. But I mean that would have
you
been
in your
like,
tens.
That would have
you
been
were, you were like
I was in my tens.
Decade.
But that would have been like when I first started really, you know, I mean that's the age where you start first picking music that you like, right? That isn't handed down from your parents or your family. That's, you know, when you start going, oh yeah, I like that beat, or I like, you know, whatever it is about it. So, I mean, yeah. Disco.
You're talking about that with Andrew.
Victoria Gaynor, you know, I Will Survive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that, like, disco and, all like, older dance music definitely holds up a lot better than this generation's dance music will.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's such a question. Like, how is this generation of music going to be remembered? Like, is it just going to kind of evaporate as time goes on? Because I don't know. It doesn't feel that memorable to me, but that's just a personal opinion. So
yeah.
Knows.
Yeah. I feel like it doesn't have longevity.
Some of
like
it will, I think last.
Some of it will last, but I think that the ones that will last are less the ones that are like really poppy, you know, cause those are the ones that like nobody really cares about what they're saying. You don't really, and this is just my experience. Like,
yeah, totally.
Every single like house music song to me sounds the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With you.
So I'm kind of like, it's just one of those. Oops, oops, oops.
So
like, see, I like electronic music that has lyrics, very specifically. I much prefer those songs.
Yeah, I think those will be the ones probably that last a little longer.
Because they have a lot of emotion. Like, there's a lot that you can convey.
Yeah, lyrics just add a whole new feeling.
Lyrics are the bomb. I mean, that's what, to me, that's what makes music.
Well,
that to me.
Do
you guys listen to music because the lyrics or because the melodies? Or I mean, I guess you can do both, but like which kind of captures your attention first in a song?
I think lyrics for me. I think if it has meaning or if I somehow like connect with it, even if it's like I'm depressed or I'm like feeling really good and it matches my mood, I'm more likely to dig it.
Yeah.
See,
I mean
I know some songs that are crappy musically.
Right. But the lyrics are gorgeous. But there are also songs that like I'll listen to like and I can't understand the lyrics the first time I listen to it or something. You know, like I'll listen to it like Rainbow Kitten Surprise, for example.
Right.
A lot of their music, it's not mumbly, but they say so many words that it's it's not like when you first listen to it, you're gonna understand everything that they said, get the message. But what really kind of draws me in and says, oh, this is something that I want to listen to over and over again and understand the lyrics, is kind of the melody and the vibe that the background music gives, right? So lyrics give it like the meaning, but the melody makes me want to understand the meaning. Does that make sense?
Well, like relationship, that definitely makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, if it's a really awful music sound, then yeah, you're not going to want to put yourself through that to listen to the lyrics.
Yeah, I get like that. I'll just look up the lyrics and read it like a poem. Mm-hmm. If it's that, but yeah. Okay.
I don't have any Beatles on the list.
We've only done one song.
Oh, we should probably move along then. So, segue? No? Okay. So, I do not have any Beatles, but I do have one of my favorite all-time bands, Fleetwood Mac, on here.
Oh, love Fleetwood Mac.
Right? I mean, that's historic.
Yes. Longevity.
Exactly. Like, this is one that, like, transcends generations. I think everybody knows this song. It's it comes out at least once a decade as, like, an anthem of some sort. When I was in high school, I sang also, and sang for graduations and whatnot. And this happened to be one of the songs that I chose. This was way before she redid it and it became popular and whatnot. But it's Landslide by Fleetwood Mac.
Yes, I could see Anna kind of hinting. I'm like, oh, is it Landslide?
It's gotta be Landslide. Yeah.
I mean, I love the whole album. Their Rumors album is just to die for. But Landslide has some true, meaningful, like, history for me.
I feel like that's a song that, like, I think Anna and I have been talking about this a few months ago, just how, like, pretty much any average person who listens to music is gonna have an attachment to that song, or at least an appreciation for that song. It's kind of one of those favorites, I feel like.
Yeah. I think it comes out, you know, comes back around at least once every decade to kind of represent something, right? Yeah. Like graduations or meaningful times in people's lives or something. It makes a resurgence, at least it seems that way.
Yeah.
So I didn't pick the one that Stevie Nicks did. She remade it like in what, 90s, I think. And I picked the original Fleetwood Mac.
Okay.
So yeah.
That's a good version. I like the Dixie Chicks version as well. That has like a little different vibe to it. It just depends on like what mood you're in, I feel like.
Yeah, that was a good version. I saw that in concert. Yeah. That was awesome.
And it's again one of those iconic songs like we were talking about last time with Declan, like with Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Just the fact that so many people have made a version of that song kind of just speaks to its iconicness.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Stevie Nicks tells a story, you know, she was in Colorado when she wrote that.
I did not know that. Oh my gosh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. And she was, like, doing back-to-back tours with Fleetwood Mac and having, like, all kinds of, like, heavy shit going on in her life, and out came this song. and I think, you know, that to me has a lot of meaning too, because it's in a, you know, it was born in a place I was, you know, that I lived and loved forever. You live and love. So I think, yeah, it has a lot of meaning.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I have an even greater appreciation for Landslide now knowing that.
Yeah.
Right.
I got to see her perform at Red Rocks.
And
it was probably one of the most spectacular things.
Red Rocks with Fleetwood Mac, or was it just Stevie Nicks?
It was just Stevie Nicks, actually. They hadn't gotten back together. I did see Fleetwood Mac this last year when they rekindled their tour. So I'm very grateful and thankful that I got that experience too.
What's your third fundamental frequency?
So this one represents, and so my songs tend to, I think this list has meaningful people attached to them. So because I sang Landslide for graduation, that's kind of that. And then my dad singing Old Paint. This next one is actually, I have what I call a tribe of people that I grew up with all through my younger years. Since I was about 12, 13, we formed a group of a band of bandits. and we're all still very close. In fact, we all live very, very close to each other, and we're very much a tribe still.
That's so impressive. Wow.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, we've known each other for, you know, over 40 years. So we have a lot of history. But this song happens to be kind of our anthem. Like, we all really identified with this when we were teenagers, and it just became kind of part of us. So this song is Salisbury Hill by Peter Gabriel. And basically, yeah. It's us, yeah. Like as a group, as a tribe.
I love that y'all are still close. Like, I feel like you've probably all gone through so many different phases of life, and the fact that you're still together as a group of friends is amazing.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. It gave Anna lots of aunts and uncles.
Yeah. He's only got one brother, but I've got what, 8 aunts and uncles?
At least.
That's so cool. Yeah. Wow.
And it's cool that we get to be so close to them too.
So they're in California.
Sometimes too close.
Never.
Yeah. So her sister Amy is actually one of those friends that she met when, like, about 12.
Yeah.
13. She's the one who owns the property management company that Mom works for, and she also lives in the house next door.
Okay.
So we see her all the time.
And we actually had the same maiden name when we were growing up. So it was very easy for us to call each other sisters because we had, you know, it was Amy Walker and Jennifer Walker.
So. Oh my gosh. I know. That's so cool.
Yeah. So yeah.
I always thought, I didn't know that for the longest time, that like that just was her name.
Yeah.
And I was like, why did she change her name to York? Like, I don't really understand why she, like, became
she really
a lover.
Loved us.
I really don't get it. I don't know that, but nobody else. Why? And I was like, her name is actually.
But I love that you thought she loved us so much that she would become part of our community. And so we have reunions of all of our, the friend group, and we literally sing at the top of our lungs, you know, 20 people. 25 people just yelling that song. It's
awesome. That's so it's great. Special.
It's fun. So yeah.
Okay.
Halfway there.
Going? Yeah. What's your fourth fundamental frequency?
The fourth one. The fourth one is also, I think you're right. They're all pretty iconic, classic. This one, for me, my brother, my actual brother,
The one
that I have blood related, and I were often split households when we were growing up, kind of switched back and forth, so we weren't always together. So this one is Wish You Were Here from Pink Floyd. It kind of, yeah, it represented, I think we sang this one on a lot of car trips too. Jeff and I would take car trips back and forth from Colorado to California.
That's a long trip.
And sing Pink Floyd. I don't know why. He's a terrible singer. But he, like, will sing, like, every word and, like, not be shy. And there's just not that lot, you know, a lot of, I hate to say guys, but, you know, I think more so, like, guys don't tend to, like, sing to the radio. Do you guys find that's true in your generation, or?
Yeah, maybe just less likely to be vulnerable in that way and just
It's a hard thing to be vulnerable.
And I guess you guys are around a lot of singers. So
well, yeah, that's true. But also, like, I feel like when a guy can't sing, he's so much less likely to sing than girls, right?
Right.
A lot of girls are like, yeah, I know I can't sing, but fuck it. Like, yeah. I love it. Mm-hmm. Guys are like, no, I'm okay with not embarrassing myself like that.
Yeah, very true.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
So embracing singing regardless of what your voice sounds like.
I'm with Chef Gusteau from Ratatouille, but like not anyone can cook, it's anyone can sing.
Yes. And then people are like, no, but my voice is so bad. It's like, well, just sing and you'll get better. And
yeah, turn up the music loud enough that nobody can hear in the
background. Exactly. I get words
sing in the shower.
It doesn't matter.
It's true. She'll listen to us all like play a brand new song, one that I don't even know the words to. I'll play it in the car and she just starts like singing along. I'm like, you
know, I don't know. I can guess what's coming next. But yeah. That's part of the fun though, right? Like, oh, this rhymes with, oh, they didn't go with the rhyming word. Okay.
I read the song differently.
Yeah, there.
Yeah. I did that earlier. We were driving down here and I was playing a song and I sang the wrong part. Damn it, I hate it when they do that.
Oh, I do that all the time.
Yeah. Back to the song for just 1 second. Wish You Were Here. This song is so funny to me because the association that I have with it is a video game. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, but it's not like a normal video game. So I used to have a little Nintendo DS. My favorite game on the Nintendo DS was a Tale of Despero game.
Oh, yes, that was a mouse book, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I read.
Yeah, and I was obsessed with the book, hated the movie, but then they made a game, and I was so upset. It was so fun, because you were, like, Despero, and you'd, like, have to carry around, like, little balls of, spools of thread, and, like, use your serrat. It was so freaking fun. And I don't even know why I have associated this song with it, but every time I hear that little bow, it just brings me right back to that game.
I would probably listen to it in the car, driving to Montana.
Probably.
Because it's my car song, one of them, and you were probably playing that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably had it on on repeat. Lately, I've been thinking about, we were talking about this earlier with honorable mentions, like, you know, just things, because we're in such a weird state of mind and the pandemic and being stuck at home, like, you know, what music kind of represents that. And this song, I think, could fit into that category.
Yeah.
Too, like, you know, two lost souls swimming in a fishbowl year after year, like,
yeah,
just, you know, that I don't know, just trudgery,
you
know, that's happening, I think people are feeling right now.
Okay.
So I guess we're at the end.
The finale.
So yeah, I guess the last song is probably a tribute anthem to my beautiful child daughter. And this actually was a song that I loved before she was born. Sang constantly because I just thought it was so much fun.
It is.
And then when she came along, I just continued, and then she started singing it with me, and now it's kind of our song together. I think this probably represents me and you the best.
Yeah, this is like our go-to like karaoke duet. Maybe not go-to, but we've got it at karaoke.
And it's just an all-time feel-good, all-time.
I'm so excited to hear what it is.
It is. Drum roll, please. I'm All Right by Jody Messina.
Well, it's been a long time, but to see your face, I knew we'd meet again another time, another place. Can't believe it's been so many years. You better grab a chair and a couple of beers. You're looking good in your pretty suit. You know, I always knew you'd think that this in the street. You were always the one to follow the light, and you look like you're doing all right.
Yeah.
We can go on.
That was wonderful. Also, okay, I've definitely heard that song. It's been a while, and I'm so glad you guys reminded me of it, because I'm gonna go listen to it, and it's so catchy.
It's such an uplifting, just like crazy.
I'm all right.
I think that's a really cool one, kind of like on the flip side of Wish You Were Here, right?
Yeah.
Wish You Were Here. I was like, oh, I really want you. Like, I don't know how I'm doing this without you. I'm lost. And then Jody Messina's like, yeah, I haven't seen you forever, but like, I'm great.
I'm all right.
Great to see you. I'm glad to be here with you, but like, I'm doing it.
Yeah. Kind of in our way. So that's me. Emotions. Those are my fundamental frequencies.
What a fun way to get to know you a little bit, Jennifer. And like,
yeah.
Yeah.
This was fun.
Yay, I'm so glad that you did this with us. It was hard. It's a trip. I know I've said it before, but I challenge you all listening to try to come up with 5 songs that, you know, just define your life. And it's not as easy as it might seem. It might not seem easy, but I can assure you it's not. Well, thanks for being on Fundamental Frequencies and sharing those with us.
Yes, that was a pleasure and a joy. You're welcome.
Thank you. That was, so much fun to get to hear your stories and your songs and hear you guys sing together. That was really
fun.